Welcome to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast, the show that offers you tips and strategies to help speakers build the business of their dreams. Now here's your host, 30-year industry veteran and business coach, Jane Atkinson.
Everyone to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Atkinson, and I am here today with the amazing Cassandra Worthy. Welcome to the podcast.
What up, what up? What up, Jane? Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. Oh, highlight of my day right here.
Well, this has been a long time coming. You know, I've wanted to have you on the show for probably a couple of years. Chris West introduced you to me, and I'm pretty sure you've won all of our contests because your video and your website are just so darn good. Like, I feel as though I just interviewed Shola Richards, another one of Chris West's clients, and I feel as though you all have this philosophy around investing in yourself. And I want you to talk to, when was the first time when you really kind of stepped up and said, okay, this is going to hurt, but I'm going to pay. I'm going to
spend the money. This is going to hurt, but I'm going to pay. Probably from the very beginning, as it relates to my speaking career and my, you know, consulting, I had some really great mentors around me from jump. Actually, the CEO of Hay House, who's the publisher of my book, as well as one of his New York Times bestselling authors, Cheryl Richardson. I was privileged to have a mentee-mentor program relationship with them for 6 months. And during that time, they told me the importance of pouring into the business, both energy, time, as well as monetarily. And it taught me a very important lesson about the power of an incredible website, the power and the importance of video in our industry. I mean, it's probably the number one thing.
Everything.
And, you know, subsequently, months, years later, I've heard that, you know, you should be thinking about putting the amount of money that you want to charge to be speaking on a stage towards your speaker reel.
So if you want to earn 30K, you should be investing 30K. One speech goes towards that reel. That's just a number for people out there. If you're at 5, 10, 15, 20, and on up from there. Very good. Yeah, I've heard that too.
From the beginning. And even though I hadn't heard that, that's pretty much in line with what I've kind of how I've progressed.
Yeah.
And I will say that, you know, I was one who created and cultivated my business on the side while doing corporate America full time. And so I had a healthy salary to kind of funnel money into, which was a privilege.
That was very a beautiful way to go. We definitely recommend that start for people.
If you
talk about that, talk about the transition. How many years has it been? Give us like a snapshot of where you are today.
Sure. So I spent 15 years working in corporate. For those of you who don't know, I'm a chemical engineer by trade. So I led.
Of course you are.
So I led innovation organizations in the consumer packaged goods industry and all mostly at Procter & Gamble. And then I, as a part of that work, as a part of a lot of acquisitions, which has kind of created my niche around, you know, the emotions of change and disruption. But about when I had about 5 years left before ending that corporate America tenure, I really just started listening to my intuition, telling me that there was something bigger that I could be doing to leverage my gifts and talents to brighten the world, as well as what I was hearing from people all around me as far as the unique value that I brought. As much as I loved innovation and I did, you know, shampoo design, shampoo formulation, blades and razors, a lot of really cool technology stuff.
Yeah.
The value was always about, man, Cassandra, you can light up a room. The way that you lead an organization, the way that you inject joy and positivity. That's what I was hearing most frequently.
Yeah, you were in this organization at P&G and this ripple effect was probably going out all around you.
Totally. Yeah. And every business that I was a part of, even going through those really, really tough acquisitions. And it was from putting those little pieces together that I started to explore the curiosity of, okay, what could it look like if I was doing something different, leveraging this energy and my natural gifts and abilities? At first, I thought I would just be a nonfiction writer, but it was through that, you know, work with Hay House that I discovered that you can get paid to speak on a stage, to share your perspective. And so I started building and kind of cultivating my speaker brand and my website and everything in 2018. Mm-hmm. And then I left my corporate position full time about 2.5 years ago. So it was March of 2019.
So you came onto the scene like in
kaboom.
So you're at the highest end of things already in a very, very short period of time. I think that corporate experience is serving you well because you speak their language and But tell everybody the name of your book and when that was released.
Sure. So the name of the book is Change Enthusiasm.
Which
How to Harness the Power of Emotion for Leadership and Success. And of course, the name of my consulting firm is Change Enthusiasm Global. I have another arm for the training arm called We Are Change Enthusiasts. And so this whole thing that I've cultivated, I've called Change Enthusiasm, which I've trademarked. And it's this three-step mindset that enables those who practice it the ability to harness the power of emotion to fuel growth through change. You know, when I was going through those acquisitions in corporate, all too often I saw leadership teams and employers not acknowledging the very real emotion that I was feeling, that other employees were feeling going through this really tough, challenging change. They'd admit that it was going to be tough. You're going to have a hard time, but then allowed you to deal with your emotions and all that other crap outside of the business. And so I was like, there's a better way to do this because it's not right to ignore these emotions. These things are actually signaling us. If you can recognize them as signals and gifts, they're actually inviting you into these great opportunities to grow. And so it's through that experience that I started to kind of carve out this niche of, you know, using the emotions of change to empower growth through any change, any disruption.
It's amazing. And it's so timely for today. I mean, how much emotion has risen over the course of the last year and a half, 2 years, that people have been disrupted from their workplaces. They have their children at home. And, you know, so many things have just been not business as usual. And so your message is incredibly timely for right now, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it had always been because emotions are very real and they can't be, you know, denied when going through change. But my God, over this past couple of years, I'm talking about clients going through significant contraction. Like, you know, I work with Pratt & Whitney in the aviation industry, clients who have seen exponential growth. So you got employees feeling there's not enough time in the day to get all this work done.
Yes.
I don't have enough resources to help me do this.
Yes.
So regardless, this mindset, this strategy is enabler for you to grow through any type of change or stress or disruption that you're experiencing.
So good. So good. Now, there's one thing that I have always said about you from the very first time I laid eyes on your website.
Yeah.
Like your personality just leapt through the screen and gave me a hug or something. Your authenticity has always been really front and center. What does that mean to you?
Oh, it means the world, everything. And thank you for saying that. And I'm so glad that that's the way that it sings out because that's intentional. This was something, like I said, that was a side hustle and something that was nurturing a passion, something that was, that started as a curiosity that quickly became a passion, something that is allowing me to walk on purpose each and every day. Mm-hmm. And so I told myself from jump, if I'm going to do this thing, I'm going to do me. Right? I'm going to be my full authentic self and I'm not going to put on some facade. I'm going to bring me and be real in every engagement, every keynote, every workshop, every client discussion. Right? And so I wanted to make sure that what I built was very authentically me and combining what my natural gifts and talents are, those things that I heard from other people, as well as that intuition, my own personal experience, where I come from, what I've been able to do, and then where I think there's value to be added in the world. And for those of you, if that sounds familiar, those are elements of ikigai, right? This Japanese concept.
Right.
And, you know, at the center of that Venn diagram is your ikigai. And I think that in this work, I have found that for myself.
Oh, beautiful. Well, you can definitely check that box.
Because yes!
Who you are has come straight through the screen. And, you know, that's probably why during COVID, while other people were perhaps struggling and not getting as much virtual work, you were busy because your change enthusiasm jumps through the screen at people. Talk a little bit about speaking virtually and how you decided, you know, to kind of up your game on that.
Yeah, well, it was a forced decision.
Oh, okay.
Most of us in the industry, if you still want to make revenue, you better figure it out.
Yes, quickly.
And I will say, although I did eventually get to a place where I was doing lots and lots of virtuals, I've probably done over 75 over the past year. But for those first few months, like I didn't do my first virtual engagement until I want to say July.
Yes.
Right? And the pandemic came in March. So for those few months, it was bleak. was bleak. And what I had to do is practice what I was writing into my book at the time.
Practice
what I had cultivated and created.
Yes.
And recognize and embrace, wow, I am feeling a depth of signal emotion. I'm going to let myself binge Netflix for 2 weeks while I watch my revenue dwindle. But yes. I'm going to get up and I'm going to trust these emotions are here to serve me. And I'm going to step into this opportunity. I'm going to figure this out because I knew in some way I was going to serve more clients because the message, as you said, is even more relevant today than it's ever been before. And so I just started looking in the industry. Who's already starting to do virtual? How are they doing it? Where can I take some classes? What's the best studio setup? What's the best camera? Reaching out to folks and just making those choices, knowing that this is an opportunity for me to grow as an innovator, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, and for my business to grow, to serve more clients around the world. And so once I started just taking those steps every day, I did a free virtual engagement. Then I did another free virtual engagement. And then I got a paid one. And then I got a higher paid one. And then a higher paid one. And then. And I've just, you know, I've learned along the way.
It's almost like everybody was little babies and we were all learning to walk again.
Right.
And so it took from March till June or July, but, you know, we kind of started to get it. And actually, I give big props to Chris West for helping me up and out of the dark place because I thought, uh-oh, my industry is gone. I talked to my husband about selling the house. I went into a place of fear. And it wasn't until he reminded me that people need me now more than ever.
Yes.
That was, and he wanted me to do this brand camp with him. And I didn't really show up. We did 4 weeks and I showed up in week two. Week one was absent Jane. I was just like, wow, Chris, you're really good. This is really good stuff. Like, I'm really happy we're providing this, but it's all you this week. But then week two, getting the mojo back. Week three, you know, I must have been on the couch with you watching Netflix.
Yeah,
it was a very interesting, it was very interesting to notice where I started and where I ended up. And you did the same thing and, you know, one thing at a time. And even now I suspect you're still thinking about how to raise your game with regards to virtual, because we know that virtual is here to stay, right?
Always. Yeah. And, you know, Chris is just a blessing. I mean, for those of you who don't know Chris West and Video Narrative, shameless plug, know them. Go find them. And it's worth every penny of the investment. But I'm working with their team again, and we're putting together a 2022 hybrid friendly speaker reel that I challenge them to become the leading hybrid friendly speaker reel of the industry. That's what I told them I want them to make for me.
Well, there you go. And you'll be the first one to roll out off of the assembly line, and it'll be brilliant. I know it will be. And I think, I don't know if you won it, but you certainly came close to winning
I got second. Linda Swindling
awesome. Will give her props.
She's great. On LinkedIn. She's great.
Yeah. So first of all, I see you investing in yourself, but I also see you charging really great, strong fees. When people hire you, they're paying a pretty penny. And so were you always confident enough to pull off those high fees? And I want to also recognize that you're a Black woman. People may not be able to tell because we're on a podcast, but we are doing a video on this. It's on YouTube as well. And
I am Black.
I just want to put it out there because for other Black women who may also struggle, anybody, male or female, really, who struggles with their fees, what do you say to them?
Here's what I say, and it's something that I have to remember for myself each and every day because it can be a challenge. And that is, we've all heard, know your worth, right? Know your value, know your worth.
Mm-hmm.
And usually there's a period after that sentence. For me, the second part of that sentiment that I've come to embrace is, and act accordingly.
Ooh.
Know your worth and act accordingly.
I like that.
I think for a very long time, I have known my worth and known my value, but case by case basis, I don't act accordingly. And I am more lenient and I settle for much, much lower fees. But every single day, I am striving to live that full sentiment of acting accordingly. And I think for me, I think it to be very important for all of my Black speakers to ensure that we are sticking to our worth and our value And so that when any Black speaker is approached, there is an understanding that this is the price tag. And the idea of speaking for exposure is it needs to go to the wayside, right?
Yeah,
it's
sure.
great to have exposure, but exposure doesn't pay the bills. And exposure doesn't fulfill the value that I bring to you and your organization.
Is there something that we were all brought up with, that whole like, who do you think you are kind of thing? Is that something that has been a part of your journey? Other people thinking, who do you think you are? Or
the
saying,
imposter syndrome thing.
You are.
People probably did say that, but I didn't say it to myself. I will say that when I got into this, I did a lot of research on who's out there doing it now, looking at yes. speaker reels, looking at full videos. I've been in corporate for 15 years. I'd yeah. seen motivational speakers in my own organizations. And knowing that the talent that I have and how I can relay a message, and the fact that I just feel great on a stage, and I feel lit up.
You're
on a stage, and I have all of this wealth of knowledge and expertise from my 15 years. I was like, you know what? I stack up against these folks. And I started out of the gate charging five figures for my keynote engagements. My very first paid engagement was a five-figure fee.
That's awesome.
Because you know what? I'm a mid-level executive at a major corporation.
This is something that when we have someone who's come out of a big bio, we definitely start them at higher fees. And I love that you just stepped right in there and embraced it all. I bet you when you were doing your research, you didn't see a lot of chemical engineers.
I didn't. And that's what my mentors told me. They're like, Cassandra, you have got to be the most engaging, fun, articulate engineer ever. They're like, so you need to leverage the mess out of that.
You really do, because that is your differentiator.
Yeah, for sure.
And I've heard bureaus say, we do sometimes these pitch fests where we get to pitch speakers bureaus, and they love it when there are women in a typically male dominated field as well. So you, I mean, tick so many boxes for them. And the fact that you're a chemical engineer who has this massive passion and enthusiasm, I mean, enthusiasm is built right into your brand. How do you distribute that on a day-to-day basis? I watch you on LinkedIn, so I see you distribute. Thank you. I've been a recipient of it. I appreciate that so much. Talk about how you spread your enthusiasm.
Yeah. So again, it's intentional, but it's also very natural for me. I'm a very spiritual person, and I fully believe that we all have a tap to this infinite source of divine energy. And each and every one of us are vibrations, right? We're all these little particles vibrating at different wavelengths. That's what we are. We're energetic beings, and we all have this tap to that. And so my work is allowing that tap to remain as open as it possibly can. And to do that, I have to make sure that I'm also giving myself time and respite to recharge. So I'm an avid journaler. I journal each and every day. It's a spiritual practice for me. I also take time to myself, take long walks. I love going to coffee houses. Now get in a coffee and go into the park, and just having time for reflection so that I can fill up that tank and keep that tap as open as I possibly can. But this sharing this energy is what my purpose is. The first time that I realized that is when I got off a stage and I saw this same energy, this joy that I feel just flowing through me. I saw that same energy bounce back right at me through somebody's eyes, through somebody's smile on their face. That same energy recognized itself and came out to greet me. And I was like, whoa, this is it. This is what I'm supposed to do. And so, you know, living this purposeful life, a big part of it is sharing this energy that flows divinely through me.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, we've established that your marketing rocks. We already know that. But, you know, without a good stage game, that would only take you so far. You really need the stage, the presentation skills, the performance level to be high in order to, you know, combine with the marketing to have this level of success that you've had. Talk about what you do on the stage that, and I think I already know the answer to this question because we've been talking about it the whole time. What is your secret sauce?
Yeah. So first, let me share a quick story with you. So Of course, I spent, like I said, several years in corporate talking to hundreds of people, leading organizations and town halls and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So I've not been one who hasn't been on a stage before, just talking about, you know, business stuff. And so I was familiar with that. But before my first paid engagement, it was in February of 2018 or 2019. And I knew I had already landed that gig, I think, in September or October the prior year. And I knew that I needed to own that stage like I had given that keynote hundreds of times. Mm. And so that's what I did. I actually practiced that keynote in my house, in my kitchen, like I was speaking to a live audience, I think 150 or 200 times between the time I knew I had booked it to the time I was on that stage, because I knew that I needed to be natural about it. And I wanted to be able to riff and engage with the audience.
I love that.
I share that to say that a big part of what I bring to the stage is just a natural flow, because I know that I am having my joy and having myself filled up on that stage, and to share myself authentically is very important for me. And so having some call and response, having some banter with the audience, I like to go out into the audience and talk to folks. I like to dance on the stage. I like to get other people dancing. And I have fun. I have fun in what I do while still being very intentional to share something of value and have everybody leave with something tangible that they can start practicing and make themselves and their lives better the next day.
I love it. And those 150 or 100 times that you practiced that presentation, what that allowed it to do is kind of get in your bones so that you weren't actually thinking about, oh, where do I go next in your head? We want to be out of your head, in your heart. There's this coaching phrase called in the bones that is just steeped in you. And so you're not thinking about anything point one or anything like that. You're just there and you're present. That's what that gave you. And we don't ever want to feel robotic or too rehearsed when we come up. And you can really tell when somebody is coming from the place where they've tried to memorize a presentation. It's not about memorizing. It's about just really digesting it and knowing what it is that you're going to say, but then saying it authentically.
Absolutely. You got it. You got it.
I love it. Well, you are a rock star. Tell everybody again the name of your book and where they can find that.
Change. If you just go to changeenthusiasmbook.com, has all the information there. You can even subscribe and get a free chapter if you want to just take a sneak peek before you purchase it. And also has several outlets of where you want to purchase it. I did an Audible version of it. If you want to hear me read it to you, you can get it on Audible. But go to changeenthusiasmbook.com and check it out.
Beautiful. And what is your favorite social media channel? Do you like to
LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. And honestly, I love it because that's where my clients live.
Cassandra Worthy, CassandraWorthy. Go over and find her on LinkedIn. This has been a long time coming. I hope it's just the beginning of all.
Yes, it has to be.
Because your wisdom, I mean, I don't even know if you know how amazing what you've done is, like, to date. It is truly, I mean, you've gone from zero to rock star in really less than 3 years during a pandemic, for goodness sake. So, I mean, I want you to know that that is the ripple effect of enthusiasm. That is really it. And so congratulations. I'm so impressed with you and excited for you and can't wait to talk again to you in the future.
And can I just say thank you so much for those words? And I think the key driver behind that is me putting my full authentic self into my work and not putting on any facade, not trying to be like anyone else, but me, and putting my best foot forward. And I think because of that trueness, that genuineness, that authenticity, the universe is conspiring and rock and roll.
I love it. All right. Thank you so much. And for those of you listening in, hey, if you've enjoyed what we've been throwing down here, let us know. And with that, we will say, see you soon, wealthy speakers. Bye for now, everyone.
Peace out. Keep rocking.
Thanks for listening to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. If you need help building the speaking business of your dreams, head over to wealthyspeakerschool.com and take advantage of our 20-minute next step call. Thanks for listening to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast.